Very seldom do I just ever put one message together. And, you know, I generally like to work in series. I like to build one message upon another. And a lot of times I like to take things that are I'm not necessarily a current events preacher, because that can just, then every week, you know, you pretty well know what the pastor's going to say. But I do like when, take for instance, coming up next week is Mother's Day. That's next Sunday. And then in June, we'll celebrate Father's Day. And so I generally like to talk about something involving the family around these times, because, first of all, our nation is celebrating those days. I do it, second of all, so that all the fellows in here have the opportunity to remember. And they pay me behind the scenes to do that. Thank you for reminding me, you know, though. No, that part there, I'm just a lying preacher there, okay? So I ask your indulgence there. And so what I do is, a lot of times you get up and you say, okay, I'm going to preach Mother's Day message, and it's going to be, well, we're going to go and we're going to look at Timothy's mother and his grandmother, and we're going to talk about ladies of faith. Or we're going to, and so what happens is then that becomes a routine in itself. And so what happens is we become just kind of blasé with the preaching. Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be predictable, okay? I think you know me well enough that I'm generally not predictable, although you get to know me well enough, then maybe my wife knows me better than that. So what I'm going to do is this, is we're going to kick off really talking about both celebrations, Mother's Day and Father's Day. But I thought, well, how could we do that? Well, what I want, if you look at the title, it's very interesting, because there's a thought that will come up later on that will explain the title better. God's way is the right way. And we should maybe take that title and revise a little bit to say God's way is always the right way. And you said, well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about moms and dads now, because that's what we're celebrating, Mother's Day and Father's Day. And so as we start, we need to realize this, is that, you know, God ordained in the Bible means that it was appointed by God. And you say, well, now that came out of the wide blue. You know, we're doing the bait and switch. No. What we have to realize this is that on your sheet, and the next thing is this, is we'll get them both together here. There are three institutions that God ordained upon the earth, okay? We read here in the book of Genesis is that God spoke this world into existence. You know, I believe in a young earth theory. I believe that it's biblical. I don't think that the earth is billions of years old. I have to tell you that. It took me a while to come to that conclusion, and I had still yet worked at Wood Mode, and I grew a third eye on my forehead instantly when I began to tell people that I didn't think the earth was more than 10,000 years old, okay? And I think that that's what Genesis 1 proves. But anyways, there are three institutions that God ordained upon this earth, and I have it listed here, not in order. The first one we read about in Genesis 2 is the family. And that's what you have. That's what we read. We read in Genesis 2 where God created this man, and he puts him in the Garden of Eden. I find it just so exciting, okay? Think about what the Garden of Eden was like. You know, if you wanted to say every day was a perfect day, it was in the Garden of Eden, okay? Bible says that a mist came up in the morning and watered the garden. A perfect temperature, okay? And, you know, at the end of that passage, it says that the man and the woman, they didn't have any clothes on and they weren't ashamed. And so, I mean, think about how perfect the weather must have been that he didn't have to have an overcoat, right? Okay, I mean, that spells it all out to me, okay? Don't have to go into a whole lot of detail there, but I mean, so what God did is he showed Adam that he was alone, correct? Showed Adam that he was alone. He showed Adam that he was alone with the fact that all these animals that God brought before Adam for him to name, they all had a mate. And Adam realizes that he's alone. And then I like what God says. God says, it is not good that the man be alone. So ladies, you're allowed to say, amen, right? Well, you might think, we have a certain room in our house, and I put my husband in there because he needs to be alone sometimes because he just irritates the daylights out of me. No takers? Okay, I opened it wide up for you, ladies. I'm sorry if you're not going to do that. Okay, you know, I would give rides home after the service if you're afraid or anything like that. And so what we have in Genesis 2 is the establishment of family, the basic unit of any society, and all societies is the family. Okay? We have within the family, we have marriage given there. I find that absolutely wonderful, okay? It is very self-explanatory. But we have government also. We have the fact that God establishes government. Now, that's not established in Genesis 2. That's established in the book. We find that scripture in the book of Romans, what we would call the proof text for government. And then you have the church, and what we have is God establishing his church. And we would see as we read the New Testament, and as Christ came, and we just celebrated his death, burial, and resurrection, we find that the church starts in Acts chapter 2. And so we have instructions for all of that. Now, number 2 is where we get into the message. Okay, this is just setting the table here a little bit. And this is where I get the title. And I might fire you up a little bit today, and with great reserve, I talk to you today because I don't want to make anybody upset. But man is not an example of a rule or institution of God. We have a tendency to think that. We have a tendency to say, watch this. You say, let me see, how do my notes go here? Let me go up. I better catch up with my notes. I like down here on the floor. Up here on the top, I get nosebleeds all the time. But when we speak of these three institutions as being God-ordained, what we are saying is that God appointed that these three institutions exist and function, notice this, in its proper setting. And I think that's key. When we say that as, let me back up here. See, I got ahead of my notes. These are three institutions that God ordained upon this earth, the government, the family, and the church, and each has its responsibilities, each has its obligations, and each has its functions. See, I don't put all my notes on the board there, but I mean, it tries to guide me, and most of the time I try to remember them. But let me explain this number 2, okay? And this is where we're at, okay? God is the creator of the institutions of family, government, and the church. His word defines each of these institutions. And I want us to realize this, is that we need to always look to God's word to see if we are properly defining them. And you say, well, why would you talk about this? Well, because when we talk about family, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. We're going to honor mothers, okay? Now, why do we even honor parents? Well, because that's what Paul wrote. Of course, that's what is in the Ten Commandments that Moses, that God delivered to Moses. The fourth of the commandments is to honor thy father and mother. That's one of the Ten Commandments, correct? But it also, if you read in Exodus, it talks about children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it talks about honoring our parents. And so what I'm looking at here is as we look at these, and this is what struck me this week. And I have to admit, I was sitting and as I think ahead, you know, you say, don't you have your sermons prepared any farther ahead than that? Well, usually not. I'm sorry. And so I was... And I have to admit that since I lost my mom, I find Mother's Day a little harder to celebrate than I did when my mom was alive. And I can still remember the first Mother's Day after my mom passed away. I have to admit, I got up and I gave a Mother's Day message, but it was purely mechanical because I have to admit my heart was not in it. My heart was breaking because I missed my mom. And I didn't want to get blubbery and crying in front of everybody. And so what I did is I put my big boy pants on that day, and I said, okay, I'm going to do this. And I have to admit, when I went home that day, I really felt as though I just, okay, I did what was required of me, but it lacked the passion, at least from my heart. It lacked the passion, it lacked the drive that I usually have when I preach God's word. And so, no, I forget why I told you that, okay? Okay. This week. As I was sitting this week, and so I was thinking, okay, I can go to the passage there in Timothy. I can go to Proverbs 31. I can remember years ago I preached a message on Proverbs 31, and one of the fellows come to me after church, and he said, man, Pastor, he goes, I love that. Why? He goes, because you scolded the women today. On Mother's Day, you did that. Just by simply preaching on what a godly mother would be. I didn't look at it scolding. He said, man, you're a man of courage. I'm thinking, no, that's courage. If you got that from that message, if he was elbowing his wife, you know what? He had to suffer the consequences of that when he got home. Amen? Right, fellas? You're not going to do that, are you? No. Because I think Proverbs 31, if anything, watch this. Proverbs 31, Ephesians chapter 5, is what I'm talking about. This point right here is God's word that always gives us the definition and the direction for us to be able to serve in the roles and the responsibilities in which God has given each one of us in the family. Amen? Isn't that powerful truth? And what happens so many times is this, you know, let me explain. Well, I'll go it this way. I'll put it in the order in which I put it in my sermon, okay? Now I'm explaining that thought where man is not. Let's go back to it. Man is not the example of a rule or institution of God. God's word is the supreme example to us of what the family ought to be. Amen? Okay, good. You're waking up here a little bit. I'm thinking it's more like the 8 o'clock service at Bakerburg, but that's okay. I had 3 cups of coffee today, or 2.5. But watch this. Man is not the example of a rule of the government. You say, well, we have a government. Well, absolutely. There's all kinds of governments all around the world, right? God's word gives us instruction of what this institution of government ought to be, correct? And likewise with the third one, which would be the church. So here's the examples that I put together. Example would be this, is when we have a tendency to see the corruption, and we're talking about government, because don't we see corruption? Okay, yep, okay, you convinced me. I don't know. You didn't convince me a whole lot, but I mean, okay. Now, you say, this isn't church. You're supposed to sit there and go, holy, holy, holy. Right? Well, now what we need to realize, we see the corruption. We have a tendency to corruption. We see the misuse of power. We see the negative aspects of government. We might even think, watch this. How could God get it wrong? I know a lot of people think that. The problem with that thinking is we start with man and the government that he has made, and we blame God. Don't we do that? Oh, yeah. Without looking at Romans 13, 1 through 7. Is that not true? You say, are you an advocate of government? I'm an advocate of God's word. I'm an advocate of letting God's word define our lives and define our country. You realize this. Now, we're in pretty good company if we struggle in those aspects. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, we just got done talking about, take, for instance, the triumphal entry, correct? The Christ comes and he's walking down the street, and we've talked about this for a couple of weeks, and eventually you'll get it on, and I can move on to something else. But I mean, and so everybody lines the streets and they're saying, okay, he's here. This is the person that's going to come. He is going to rise up this great government. We're going to throw off the burden of the Romans, and we're going to be great. We're going to be a great nation again, right? Because that's why they stood along the streets, and they said, "Save now, Lord. Save now, Lord." It was not a great revival service. It was a great political presentation by the people along the streets, when all along it was the presentation of Jesus Christ as the sacrificial lamb, right? And they all got it wrong. Now you say, okay, that's true. If you take your Bibles, you don't have to do it right now, but make a note on your handout sheet, and you write down Acts chapter 1, and it was right before Christ was ascended. Those same disciples that were walking in front of Jesus and walking behind Jesus saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," were the same ones that said to him after he was risen from the dead, and after they met him in Galilee, and after they prayed together in the upper room, about 120 of them, he's standing there, and they said, "Oh, by the way, before you leave, are you going to now restore the kingdom?" They still had those aspirations. And tucked in between all of that was the fact is that every one of those disciples understood the government in which they lived in. And when they were following Jesus, they had, if I could be a mouse in a corner with perfect hearing. Right, Glenn? Glenn said, "I mumble." And I said, "Ask Tim behind you if I mumble." I said, "Your eardrums are..." That's what happens when you get older, and I think I've got the beginning of that. But anyways, they had many a discussions among themselves as they sized each other up, and they said, "I wonder who's the greatest person in the room." So much so that the one set of disciples had mom come in and said, "Jesus, can my son sit on your right and left hand?" Because they were interested in authority. And so what happened is God establishes government. And we'll talk about that sometime. It's very interesting. The example of the church. The example of the church. We observe the church today just as we observe government, and we see all its shortcomings, and we question the wisdom of God in ordaining the church. As a matter of fact, there's a movement today among Christians where they don't want to go to church because they see all the shortcomings. Just like, well, you know, nothing new about that. But watch this. The problem is the same. We start with man and then what he has done with the church. Yet we have instruction in the Word of God in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, and they continued in prayer, they continued in fellowship, and they continued in the breaking of bread. Now, see, we're going to break the bread today. And we're going to remember what the Lord Jesus Christ says. We have instruction in God's Word. What man has done with the church. As a matter of fact, sometimes the church is... Well, I seen a van years ago as I was traveling the 11 and 15 corridor between... It's actually just 15, but between Mansfield and Freeburg, we drove that many times. We go through South Williamsport, and we always had to stop at McDonald's in South Williamsport because that's just the place to stop, you know. You're about an hour and 15 minutes into the ride, and, you know, the two cheeseburger meals just handy, and, you know, you stop them off, use the restroom, and, you know, they made a lot of money off us putting it right there. We pulled in there one day, and we saw a church. It was a youth group was there, and the side of the van had this right across. It was called the Unchurch. And I thought, wow, that's an interesting way to identify yourself. And so, nope, we're the church. He said, well, this is a sanctuary. Well, the Bible says that the church is those born, those called out ones. We choose to use this facility, hopefully built to the glory of God. We come together today for what reason? Primary reason is to worship. Yes. Well, watch this. Is if you don't have private worship in your life, you're probably not doing any worship while you're here, because it ought to be a spillover of what our life is like every day according to the Word of God. Amen. That's what it is. Now, I'm not here to today. I'm just using this as an example. When we start with man and we look back, what happens? We're going to get a wrong view. We need to look to God's word. And this is where we're at with the example of the family. We look at the family today. Do you realize that in our lifetime, our government, an institution that God has appointed or ordained, has redefined the role the institution of marriage? Wow, isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? But watch this. All that goes to show you is the heart of man. What does the heart of man do? Now, so we're placed with a dilemma. Are we not? Well, what did the disciples do when they were faced with many dilemmas? Because you have to admit this. When the church was established, it was established when Rome ruled the world, or most of the known world then. Israel was under the occupation of Rome. And Rome practiced emperor worship. And all of a sudden now, people are talking about, and it's interesting because the early church at first was called the Way. And so there were elected officials, there were officials that were appointed who greatly persecuted the church. And the disciples found themselves hauled into jail and hauled before the magistrates with a dilemma. And they have said this: we ought to obey God rather than man. That's very simple. We are still going to define the family the way that the Bible defines it. But you know what we need to do? We need to make sure that even in our definition, that we don't pick up some of the traits that our world has placed when they are defining the family. See, it was abrupt this last couple years when they said, the Supreme Court now has said that marriage is no longer between a man and a woman. You say, I can't believe you're saying that. But that's what they did. I can't say what they, that's just what they said, right? It's just like, now watch this. Our government's also said that they're trying to say that when I talk like this, that that's now hate speech. And because they're trying to silence, I don't hate people. Do you hate people? Watch this. If anything, when we choose to disobey God as a society and as a culture, it brings about the consequences that disobedience brings about. Does it not? Absolutely. And so, now let me get back to my thing here, because I got in the middle of preaching my message. I went way past my illustration here, because I really don't want you to understand point number two, because you might think, what's the matter with my pastor? Did he have a bad week? No, because what I'm thinking about this is it is so important that we as God's people get it right. And if we are going to rely on this world to set the boundaries for us, and we are unwilling to research God's word, you know what we're going to do? We're going to find out that we're going to be in error. And error always matters. Does it not? Amen? Let me see, where are we going? Well, we're back to the same mindset. We start with man and question God. That's what we have. And that's what man is doing right now. But I will say this. Now, this is the part of the message that I have to be careful with, because what happens is we get people awful fired up. Well, I will continue on and come back to that point. If I don't get to that point, raise your hand at the end and say, hey, Pastor, you didn't say anything about that. But I want to follow my notes here. As a nation, we honor and celebrate each of these institutions, and we do. We celebrate our government, our country. We do it with Memorial Day, Independence Day, Veterans Day, just to name a few. We do that. We celebrate, as a nation, we celebrate the church. We do it with Christmas. We do it with Good Friday. We do it with Easter. Now, we see some things. You know, it used to be that in the public school system that they had Easter vacation. Now it's spring break, okay? But you know what? We don't have to buy into that mindset, okay? That's why I think that as a church we shouldn't give an inch. Amen? Same way with Christmas. Now it's called the winter. What is it? Come on, help me. Huh? Winter break. Oh yeah, they took Christmas and just... No, it's winter break. It's winter break. No, it isn't. You know what we're doing? We're celebrating the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what it is. And you know, we got... And this is just a few. Then we celebrate the family. That's Mother's and Father's Day. We celebrate Grandparents' Day. I just love that Grandparents' Day. You know, because I just love being a grandparent, okay? But I have to admit, my son's here today. I love being a dad. I love putting my arms around my son. And you know, when I grew up, my dad never put his arms around me. And it wasn't until probably a week before he died that he ever, with his own mouth, said, "David, I love you." I cherish that moment. And I want my son to know that I love him. And I want them to know it's real. My grandson, my granddaughters, we give them a hug. Sometimes we get so busy when we're around each other, we forget to do that. You just, every once in a while, you just pull them close. Right? Amen? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But now, so, let me see. Where am I? Okay. As Mother's and Father's Day is approaching, I was thinking on the fact that as a nation, we do honor these roles in the family, and I think that's a positive thing, but I think what we need to realize is this, is we can't let our nation define these roles. We need to let God's word and make our celebration be what God wants it to be. So now number three is this. This is where I'll get to the points I was going to make where I want to be careful. As God created marriage, I can't even see that with my glasses off, so I'm... Can't read through water either, so that happens. God created marriage and he established the roles of husband and wife. If you're back with Genesis chapter 2, you'll see verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And what we have to realize here is that as we look at the roles, not R-U-L-E-S, but roles, R-O-L-E-S. I think I have a little bit of speech impediment there. I don't say the words the way that it's kind of hard for me to do it. And so I don't want to be misunderstood. Is that, now watch this. With the first one coming up is Mother's Day. Now this is part, okay? I'm going to walk real gingerly here, okay? There has been a feminist movement rise up in our nation, in our nation's history, that I do not think promotes a biblical view of what it is to be a woman and to be a mother. I don't think it does. I think that our nation has blown it completely. Now I put that verse up there for a reason, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to look with Ephesians chapter 5, okay? Fellas, and I'm going to say this very clearly because I do not want to be misunderstood, okay? A woman was not created by God to be the property of any person. Amen? Come on now, amen? We ought to get excited about that, okay? That's right. That's right. Number two, in our world today, there are countries where women are second-class citizens. What don't we get where it says, "There shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh"? What are we missing? And the fallacy of the feminist movement is the atrocities against women in our world today, and they are not standing up against it. Amen? Amen, ladies? Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm going to let you men be quiet on that. But you ought to be jumping up and down, too. Years ago, I'll tell you what, all you got to do is read Proverbs 31, and it completely blows out of the whole idea that the dad, he's the boss. And he comes in, he
he sits down, and she comes up, "Oh, my Lord."
Proverbs 31. Now listen to this. You know, I've always read this, and I always wondered about this. Proverbs 31, and I know you ladies, you know the exact verse, but it says, she considers a field and she purchases it. Huh? Wow. That's pretty incredible. Because she ends up making things and sells things, and she... And you say, well, how, you know, we get the idea years ago is that, you know, you took your shoes from your wife and you kept her pregnant. Took her shoes in the winter and kept her pregnant in the summer. She couldn't do anything, right? That's the old school. I am here to say, now see, I'm in it way deep, you know, you say, I can't believe he's saying this. I'm here to say, not, you know, let me see, I don't know what I'm saying here. That's just with ladies. How about men? How about the feminization of men? Right? You know. Let me see. It's Karch, right? Karch, come on up here once, buddy. Come here. Yeah. This reminds me of a guy in Africa. He's about this tall. His name was Philip, though, so I'm going to call you Philip now, okay? Now, if you live in Africa, and you're men in Africa, it's okay for men to hold hands. So here, give me your hand, okay? So me and Philip, we're walking around in Africa. He's talking to me. My wife is walking right beside me. Now, we're going to walk all the way across here, right? We're just talking about the day, and he grabs my hand, and I'm going... Come on, Karch, let's go, buddy. Yeah, this is really exciting, isn't it? Yeah, that just, you're allowed to do that. That's just not natural, right? That's not natural at all. Did I make you feel uncomfortable? Okay, good. Well, Ken, you need to talk to this young man, okay? Let's get this straightened out, buddy. As a matter of fact, thank you. Thank you, young man. Now, watch this. There was a guy over there that was a man's man. He was from Nebraska, you know, Nebraska, yeah, tough guy, and owned an oil company. He goes over and he's developing the campus over there. He's running backhoe. He's organizing people. And every time he went into town and he would do business with an African guy, you know what they did? They held hands. Hey, I'd like to, but no, just like this. They didn't shake hands. It was just like, hey, I'd like to buy 100 bags of cement. And Chris would grab his head and he's standing there lollygagging around. Oh! Not that I don't mind shaking your hand, but watch this. The feminization of men in our culture. You say, well, you know, these are hotbed issues. No, they're not. The Word of God has created male and female. He's done it for a reason, folks. Okay? And there's all kinds of subtle things that they're doing to the point now where... Now, watch this. Is it any wonder that people are confused today? They look at me, I don't know if I'm a man. I can tell you real easy. You see me after the service, I have a proof text to tell you what gender you are. And it's real easy, okay? Absolutely. People say, well, Pastor, yeah, you just don't understand. Oh, no. We have spent the last 50 or 70 years breaking down any distinction between a man and a woman, and we wonder why people are struggling. Come on now, amen? There are consequences when we forsake God's word. Now, you say, well, that's for a believer. Oh, no. There's consequences for our world, and right now, in our nation, we are seeing the harvest of the seeds that have been sown in our culture. Come on now, amen? He said, what's this have to do with Mother's Day and Father's Day? I think it has everything to do with it, because first of all, I think we need to get stirred up. He said, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, don't stand down there on Market Street and scream out at the top of your lungs. But I'll tell you what, it's like this, is that how determined are you and me to understand God's word and to make that personal application in our life and also to pass that on? Amen? Oh, yeah. That's what it comes down to. Oh, I'm almost done here. There we go. And then number four is this. Will we dedicate ourselves to seeking God in His way in these institutions? That's what it comes down to. Because that's where I think we need. You say, and I thought about this. I thought, was this really a message? And I'm thinking, okay. And I'm thinking my way through it all week. And I'm thinking, oh, Dave, you're just going to get yourself in trouble. Okay? But you know what? Here's the thing. If there's anything I said today that ruffled our feathers, I have to ask. I have to ask myself, have I bought in to what the world's spewing out, or am I searching God's word that I can be a discerning believer in my day? That's what it comes down to. Because face it, you say, watch this. Well, it's legal. Well, it's legal. Really? Oh, yeah. There's whole things that are legal that does not honor God. Come on now, amen? And what we need to realize as believers, when we celebrate these wonderful rules in the family of being a mom and being a dad, it's a high calling of God. Amen? And when I get it right, I stand as a light in this world that others will see Christ in me, because that's what it's all about. Yeah. Sorry for holding your hand like that. Okay. That just... Okay. But don't hate anybody. No, no. And my grandson, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I love to hold the hand of my grandson. He gets out and we're in a parking lot. I hold that and I just feel my life just going right through. And it's just so wonderful. Okay. I like holding my granddaughter's hands, but I don't hold my son's hand anymore. You know, I might a little bit. Maybe after church today, I'll stand and hold his hand a little bit. Right. Let's pray.